You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts the money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Dun, 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 dun. Monday night football, we break it down. Steve Merrill will step up and in. We'll talk about tonight's NFL game. We'll take a look at some college basketball. We're talking NBA basketball on the program. Coach Nick joins us for the first time this NBA season. Joined us routinely last year during the playoffs. Great to have Coach Nick back in the rotation. A lot of respect for him. Love his breakdowns. B-ball breakdown, a very, very popular YouTube page. And Coach Nick's breakdown is very popular. Great having Nick back on the show. Always good kicking it with the Tony Sincotta. Tony's a Patriots guy, but he's also a pretty damn good DFS guy as well. We'll talk a little DFS tonight, the Monday-Thursday contest. We'll take a look at tonight's game from a prop perspective, although at this time of the year, guys, the props are weird. How did Dez Bryant's props do last night? But we'll get to that in a couple of moments' time. Fantasy football playoffs have arrived. And there was a long list of big names, man, that put up pretty terrible numbers. Pretty terrible numbers. I'm sure your playoffs were ruined because, I don't know, maybe Phillip Rivers? Guy was minus four at one point. He had minus four fantasy points. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. Like, he had more turnovers than completions at one point in time. And, of course, in the end, they have to screw me. I have the Chargers plus 11.5 on a teaser. They lose by 12 because of a late safety. Thanks, Phil. Merry Christmas, dude. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff to get to today. Great guests. We got a ton of picks. I actually have a lot of picks tonight. There's a couple of interesting NBA matchups. Got a ton of NBA picks for you. A couple of college basketball picks, or at least one college pick. An NHL hockey pick. A couple of props. Football. We got a ton of stuff going on. But we all know what time of the week it is right now. It's time to ask, who ruined your Sunday? Well, to be honest, guys, I don't even really know to start here. I've got a long list. It was a freaking train wreck, man. It was a train wreck. I took a leap of faith yesterday, and, you know, literally, figuratively, I woke up Sunday morning. I was very positive. I watched Joel Osteen, you know, Mr. Positivity. I watched Joel Osteen, and I took a leap of faith and decided to bet on a lot of bad football teams. And, you know, last year I kicked ass in a Las Vegas Super Contest. And I was really, really adamant. And I was really, really strict. And I was very disciplined. Don't bet on bad football teams. Even if you're tempted by the point spread, they're a bad football team. And they are who you think they are. And rest in peace, Coach Green. But yesterday, for one reason or another, I thought my power of positivity could overcome a bunch of piece of crap National Football League teams. Now, to be honest with you, I did go pretty hard on Friday night at our live show, and I had a few on Saturday night at the UFC. And I am of the belief that alcohol and gambling do not mix very well. Yeah, you might get hot every once in a while at a blackjack table at 4 in the morning in Vegas, but you don't want to be picking a fantasy football team if you're hammered, do you? Like, you know, that Sunday morning you wake up, you're all hungover, you're trying to get the bets in, you're like, oh, God, I don't know, man. God, my head hurts. But that wasn't the case. I liked the game sober. I liked the games drunk. I liked the game sober. Well, I must have been drunk because I certainly took a hell of a lot of bad freaking teams on a Sunday. Now, we did, you know, it's crazy, too. This is what's so frustrating about this is I had the Houston Texans winner. I had the Redskins winner. I had the Buccaneers winner. I had the Packers winner. Hell, I was on the New York Giants on the money line. Winner. Yet there ain't no chicken dinner coming. You know, no chicken dinner, just the bookie. The power of positivity got me nowhere. The only person that's positive and happy right now is my bookie. And probably because he knows I'm a Buffalo Bill fan and I'm stupid enough to believe in these son of a bitches every Sunday. Now, last week was bad enough when they blew the 15-point lead against the Raiders. But they were good enough to get the 15-point lead, right? They were good enough to get the 15-point lead. Well, this week, you know, they're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously, it's a tough matchup. The Steelers are a damn good football team. But nevertheless, the game's in Buffalo. There are reports hours before the game that Rex Ryan's going to get fired, like now, type of deal. The Buffalo Bill defense could have stepped up and played for him. I remember these guys were carrying Jim Schwartz off the field. It'd be impossible to carry that fat-ass Rex off the field. It's not happening. The Bills' defenders aren't strong enough to carry Rex, and certainly weren't strong enough to stop Le'Veon freaking Bell. Dude put up 54 DraftKings points on you, man. He had like 26 DK points in the first quarter. I thought it was a typo. I hit refresh like four times. Yeah, he was on my millionaire maker lineup, but it didn't help me. And now it's just another year of ineptness for the Buffalo Bills. Now it's 17 years in running that you jackass clowns haven't made the playoffs. You know what? 17 years. Let's put it in context. Dennis Miller was in the Monday night booth 17 years ago. All right? Dennis Miller. I don't think Dumb and Dumber behind camera one and two even know who Dennis Miller is. Tiger Woods was in his prime. Tiger Woods was not yet Ron Jeremy. He hadn't slept with every porn star in the world yet. He was winning tournaments. He was 25 years old. The last time above, think about that. Last time the Bills were in playoffs, I was in a heavy metal band called Homicide. I had hair. Yeah. You know the number one song was last time the Buffalo Bills made the playoffs? Who let the dogs out? Who? Well, I guess that's fitting to that piece of crap song that was just voted the most annoying song of all time would be in conjunction with the Buffalo Bills not making the playoffs, because the Buffalo Bill players are freaking dogs, man. You guys are dogs. Absolutely pathetic performance. It's hard to embarrass the city of Buffalo, but you managed to do it even more so. Even your drunk fans in the parking lot having sex with each other and jumping off tables can't save this train wreck, Pegula. Put the bottle of red wine down and start to figure things to freak out, all right? Because I'm sick of you ruining my Sundays. You basically ruined my life. Somebody asked me, hey, what do you want for Christmas? I know you're a Buffalo Bill fan. You want like a Bills jersey or jacket? I'm like, no, I don't, no. And she's like, well, I thought you liked the Bills. I'm like, no, I don't. I don't want to walk around. Why don't I just get like a big L tattooed on my forehead? Loser! You're a bunch of losers. You're terrible. You're a disgrace. You suck. You ruin my Sunday. And, I guess I shouldn't have been shocked that a Nate Hackett-led offense would go absolutely nowhere fast. Like, seriously, Gus Bradley, how does this guy still have a job? How does Gus Bradley still have a job as a head coach? Buffalo Bill defensive lineman Marcell Dareus has been suspended more times in NFL than Bradley's won damn games. Absolutely disgraced. The Jaguars, you ruined my Sunday. Late touchdown given up. Another home loss. Just move to London and stay there, all right? Move to London and stay there. And then for some reason, I think, the Cleveland Browns are going to win. No, the Cleveland Browns aren't going to win. And I used to say, no, man, the Browns would kill Alabama. I take that back. I don't think the Cleveland Browns could beat Kent State University. You know what RG3's QB rating was in the first half yesterday? 0.0. Just like my bank account because of you. The Cleveland Browns, so bad, their punters, their mascot, trying to pick up a punt on the sidelines, he falls on his ass. But a good thing for the Cleveland Browns, you're playing one franchise that's every bit as pathetic as you are next week. The Buffalo Bills. Too bad you're not playing Jeff Fisher and the Rams. Good thing that the Rams extended Coach Fisher, because his cell phone was going to be blowing up. Everybody wants Coach Fisher, right? I wouldn't let Coach Fisher shovel my driveway at this point in time, let alone coach an NFL team. I ruined my Sunday by betting on the Rams, who ruined my Sunday. And we'll wrap it up with the Giants and the Cowboys. Somehow I'm on the Giants, but I'm also on the over. Seven of the last eight times these two teams have played, it's gone over the number. Eli Manning, seriously, the Giants didn't win last night. The defense did. Eli Manning blows. I'm surprised his dumbass doesn't get lost on the way to the stadium. He's so stupid. Every time he gets touched, he drops the ball. Just fortunately, Dak was even worse. The New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys and the National Football League as a whole ruined my Sunday. Game time decisions continues. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I'm Gabriel Morenci. All right, it's taking me a minute to get my composure back and my breath back. Like, these who ruin your Sundays, they're going to kill me, man. Like, the NFL is going to be the death of me, but I might just actually have a heart attack during one of these things. I wasn't sweating before it started, but it's actually hard to get that angry for like 10 consecutive minutes without stopping, even for me, and that's saying something. All right, so the Tony Cincata is going to join us. He's never angry. He's a happy guy. He's a comedian and a good fantasy player. Coach Nick, pretty positive dude. He's going to join us. And we're now joined by a man who I call Lucky Steve Merrill. Lucky Steve. What's up, Steve?
You don't want to leave Lucky Steve's hot Chinese soup right now, I assume.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, I wouldn't mind some Chinese food right now if you're buying, because I got hit pretty hard yesterday, Steve. You have anybody that ruined your Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, in general, the NFL ruined my Sunday, but on the I guess
that's
more specifically.
I said as a whole. I named a bunch of teams and I wrapped it up. I said, you know what? The NFL, you ruined my Sunday.
It's funny because, like, the last 4 weeks were now, you know, the last four were the Hilton, and last year I did really well, and that came within, like, a game of winning that. We were, like, 13-2 or whatever it was. But, well, I guess it's a 4 weeks, so, you know, like, maybe, like, 15-5 or something. But the last 4 weeks usually go really well for me in the NFL. I didn't have it right yesterday, and I guess the one that jumps out at me was the Carolina-San Diego over. They had 42 points going into the fourth quarter. All I needed was 7 points in the fourth quarter, and they scored 2 points. Carolina scored just 5 the entire second half after being unstoppable in the first half. Just, you know, kind of typical for how the NFL's been going recently.
Yeah, it is, Steve. How about this, too? The Chargers were a big hot pick yesterday. I didn't really like them, but I figured they would be a good teaser play. And I played one of those sweetheart 10-point teasers, three teams. And, you know, the other two legs hit, but I had the Chargers plus 11.5, man. Of course, they lose by 12. They give up a safety. Good stuff. Thanks, man. Thanks for coming,
exactly.
Phil.
The safety cost you on that, which that's a bad beat right there. And, either team could do anything. It's hard to know Carolina. I do that Charlotte show right after Game Time Decisions on Friday. I go right from here right to the Charlotte show on Friday afternoons. And they were actually laughing because when they brought that game up to me, I said, "This is the epitome of gambling." I go, your guess is as good as mine if the Carolina shows up this week or not. And they did show up, you know, after not showing up last week in Seattle. So just tough to predict that type of stuff.
Yeah, it's almost at this time of the year right now where it's very, like, late in the NBA season, Steve. You're rolling the dice. Like you said, like, Carolina pretty much quit and tapped out, yet Phillip Rivers was so bad, they're up 20-0, like, a couple of minutes into the game. And everything, but you look at Cam Newton's numbers, not like Cam lit it up yesterday or anything like that. It was just the Chargers were that bad.
Yeah, the other game I lost on the early card, the other play I had was Arizona. And would they have a fumble, a missed field goal, a missed extra point, a fumble, and an interception all like in the first, you know, like 20 minutes of the game or so. And that I bring that up because Carolina and Arizona were the two championship teams last year, and they both are going to miss the playoffs. And those are the teams you got to be very careful with. You know, bad teams don't necessarily quit late in the season because they're used to losing all year long. They play hard. Sometimes they can actually pick up a win at the end of the year. It's the teams like the Panthers and the Cardinals who were Super Bowl contenders last year that aren't going to even make the playoffs now that you have to be very careful with here in these final weeks.
Well, that was the thing. And yes, I got burnt with the Jags yesterday. And, you know, it was looking like a pretty good play, actually, Steve. You know, they were up. It was 18-16. I'm like, man, even if Minnesota kicks a field goal, we get the cover here. But, of course, it wasn't that they quit. They just aren't good enough. Minnesota scores a touchdown with, like, $1.30 left in the game, Steve. Real backbreaker, man.
Yeah, and Jacksonville's been just a money burner, and we all thought they would be improved this year. You know, we talked about Oakland. We talked about Tampa. And Jacksonville's another team we mentioned at the beginning of the year. Obviously, Oakland and Tampa have been improved, as we thought. But Jacksonville still has absolutely no passing attack, and you just have to be able to throw the ball in the current NFL to win. And we've seen that with the Eagles. You know, the Eagles were a phony team when they started 3-0. Wentz is like 0-7 touchdown interception ratio going into the game yesterday since week 5. He's just been terrible. His passer rating going into yesterday's game with the Redskins was 24.8 since week 5. So you have to be able to move the ball offensively. And one other game I stayed off of, Gabe, luckily, was Cleveland. And every radio host, and I think you liked him as well, every show I did last week, everybody liked Cleveland. So that was a huge red flag for me, and I stayed off of that one for that reason, actually.
Yeah, that's why when you hear the so-called squares and sharps crap, I was thinking about that, too. I'm like, why did I like the Browns? And I'm thinking, well, I'm not the only one. It went down to 4.5, Steve.
I know, you're exactly
team,
right.
You're only getting 4.5. So evidently people thought, no, this is a close game.
Well, you know, I always talk about the public consensus. And as you know, the biggest red flag is when the public is on an underdog because they're always on favorites. They're always on the overs. The most public college football dog this year was the Auburn, who was it, Arkansas, when they won 56-3.
Yeah, I was on that,
I think it was
too.
Arkansas. And everybody was on Arkansas in that game, getting like 9 or 10. They lost by 50. And now the Cleveland Browns, the winless team, the only winless team in the NFL, and everyone likes them all of a sudden. Just shows how that works.
Yeah, good news for them. They're playing the Bills this week. They might have a shot.
And yeah, nobody will like them this week either. They probably win this week now.
So tonight's game's kind of weird. It's the Ravens and the Patriots. The Ravens have always played the Patriots pretty tough. They played them tougher in the playoffs than the regular season, actually. It's a little bit deceptive. I think they're like, you know, Brady's like 5-1 in the regular season against them, but Flacco's gotten them a couple of times in the playoffs in the past. Ravens have won and covered in 4 of their last 5 football games, now 7-5 straight up, just 6-6 against the spread, though. I really don't know how good they really are. The Patriots are 7-1 straight up since Brady's been back. Their only loss to the Seahawks. You know, the Patriots, they're obviously in a very comfortable spot, and that's one thing with these guys. They have to self-motivate almost all the time. But with that being stated, they're only one game up right now and a couple of teams for home field. I mean, you got a couple of teams that are 10-3 right there with their 10-2 right now, Steve. So it is a big game for the Patriots tonight, too.
Yeah, and I was that Seattle loss was bad, you know, because since then we've seen Seattle and their other two road games go down to Tampa Bay and not score an offensive touchdown. They lose 14-5. And then we see the game yesterday in Green Bay against one of the worst defenses in the league. And obviously the weather wasn't an issue. Green Bay put up points. So I'm not sold on Seattle. And the fact they beat up on Carolina last week means absolutely nothing because the Panthers basically had quit going into that game. So, you know, since New England lost that Seattle game, they've beaten the 49ers, Jets, and Rams, maybe the 3 worst teams in the league other than the Browns right now. So we're going to find out about the Patriots tonight. You would think this would be one of those circled games in which they come ready to play. And, you know, I'm not a believer in the Ravens. I've said that all season. They played pretty good, though, last week. Those 38 points was impressive because the one reason I didn't like the Ravens this year is the offense. Their defense has actually been very solid. 17 points a game, giving up only 3 yards per carry, 6 yards per pass. The problem's been that passing offense, but if they can get some yardage tonight, you know, this probably is another close game.
You're right. You know, the Patriots almost seem invincible all the time, even without Rob Gronkowski, but it's been 3 straight unders, as you mentioned, sort of just, you know, that the 49ers were in that game. The Jets game, they were lucky to actually win the game.
Yeah, and then look how bad the Jets looked after that against Indianapolis.
They were lucky. They were lucky to get out of there with the win. And it's been 3 straight weeks, too. Tom Brady under 300 passing yards. That offense started to slow down a little bit right now. But we see all the offenses start to slow down right now. You know, it's December. These games count more. You're right. Baltimore's got a real strong defense. I think it's going to be really close to the number, Steve. Like, I'm leaning more with the Patriots than the Ravens just because I think Belichick wants to get these guys fine-tuned and dialed up, and Brady's so good on Monday night.
And earlier this week it was 7, then it was 6.5, and now it's 6 in a lot of locations. You know, those are pretty key numbers that we've been trickling down from. And the one thing about the Patriots, not only have they played 3 terrible opponents the last 3 weeks, and they've been very lackluster for the most part in those games, they have not turned the ball over at all. 0 turnovers in those last 3 games, and they still haven't looked really good. In that Jets game, they had no turnover, and they still probably should have lost. That's a bad sign. And if, you know, of course, it's not a fluke. Brady doesn't throw a lot of picks, and that's one of the reasons. But, you know, if he does have a pick against a good defense tonight, or if they finally have a fumble that's going to happen at some point, they could be in for a dogfight. The Super Bowl is wide open right now. New England's still the favorite. Dallas is right behind them, obviously. But you feel like both of those teams are a bit flawed.
Yeah, you're right. And you look now, suddenly the Dallas Cowboys don't look so invincible anymore. But Cowboys have only lost 2 times to the same team in the New York Giants. It's kind of strange. The Giants have always recently had their number. But nevertheless, Dak Prescott looked like a rookie QB last night.
Yeah, but then again, you think the Redskins should have beaten them both times. You know, they blew that game in week 2 when the Cowboys were a road dog. And then they put up over 500 offensive yards at Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. They just couldn't get the ball in the end zone. And a rookie quarterback, you know, he not only has he played well, he only had his 4th interception of the season last night when he threw that first pick. But at some point here, he's now played more games than he's ever played in a college season. You know, 12, 13 games, about the most they play in college. So we'll see, you know, if he starts to hit the wall as well here down the stretch.
Well, the Cowboys haven't played from behind very often, Steve. That's the thing. And
good offensive line, good running game. And it's a lot easier to win with a rookie when that's happening.
Yeah, and suddenly, you know, when you're December and teams are dialing this up and your wide receivers aren't open. All right, so it sounds like you think it's going to be a closer game tonight then, Steve.
Yeah, I think, and I mean, like you said, with the total being around 45, I think New England's offense is going to struggle a bit here. It's a good Baltimore defense, and I'm not still sold on the Baltimore offense. You know, you can make a case for the under 45, although, as you and I know, we hate playing the under in these primetime games, although last night's game stayed well under the total, and I was actually looking at the over. I didn't use the over. I had the Giants last night for my clients.
It's frustrating.
But that was shocking that Dallas only put up 7 points.
Seven of the last eight times those two teams played, it went over the number. All right, before we get you out of here, Steve, a couple of college basketball games tonight. I don't know what the deal is. Like, I don't know how many tournaments there are. Like, there's Under Armour tournament tonight. But there's a game in Madison Square Garden, like, every night, it seems. Every time I see on neutral court, I just assume, oh, it's an MSG. And it is again tonight, the Gamecocks and the Pirates. Interesting basketball game. Frank Martin says South Carolina Gamecocks now 8-0 straight up. Impressive wins over Syracuse and Michigan, actually, in Brooklyn earlier this year. But they're without their best player. Sindarius Thornwell is out indefinitely, team suspension. Meanwhile, Seton Hall 7-2. They've won three in a row. Their best win was against Cal in Hawaii last week. They've also beaten Iowa. Close loss to the Gators and to Stanford so far. But I think it's a good spot for Seton Hall tonight, Steve.
Yeah, and the money's actually coming in on Seton Hall. South Carolina opens as a one-point favorite in some spots. Now they're a two-and-a-half-point underdog. I think the injury, as you mentioned, one of South Carolina's best players, or the suspension, rather, is a reason. South Carolina, a very good defensive team this year, but they're not a great offensive team, so that could be an issue. Total's around 134.5. South Carolina only giving up 55 points a game. They're only giving up 25.5% from three-point range. Both teams like to score down low. I think this will be a grinder.
Yeah, Gamecocks, opposing teams are only shooting 33% against them. You're right, 1-5 to the under, actually, this year. So the under's been a big ticket. Pirates are 4-4. Pirates want to push the pace a little bit, but
right.
You look at the game against Cal, you look at the game against Hawaii, they're playing in the low 60s as of late right now, Steve. But without Thornwell, I just like the talent difference with the Pirates. And plus, you know, they're from Jersey. They'll be very comfortable at MSG.
Yeah, and I think South Carolina will definitely try to slow them down because they're shorthanded, as you said, offensively. They like to play half-court, slow-down defense. So it might be hard for Seton Hall to push the pace. But then again, if you look at the opponents they've played this year, they've actually played some fast opponents. I think Seton Hall overall, if you look at opponents played, is actually a very moderate pace overall for the season.
All right, and finally, in closing, Steve, the Auburn Tigers laying 9.5 to Boston College. Bruce Pearl, of course, now coaching Auburn, 6-1 straight up, 4-1 against the spread on the year, putting up 79 points per game, but they give up 72. But this Boston College team is this isn't a very good Boston College team so far, Steve. Coming out, they lost to Hartford the other night.
Yeah, the money's come in on Auburn already. It opened 9.5. Now it's up to -10. Auburn does like to push the pace, and they're averaging, as you said, 79 points a game. I think they'll be able to push the pace here against it's a talented, less Boston College team. And I think that's why we've seen the money coming on Auburn so far.
Yeah, and it's not just, okay, oh, you lost to Hartford, because Hartford's going to be fired up for that game. But Hartford had never beaten them before, right? You lose to Hartford, they got blown out by Harvard. They lost to Richmond. There's a pattern here, Steve. Like you said, there's not a lot of talent on this BC team.
Both these teams like to take a lot of threes, Gabe. So that's it brings in a little of uncertainty here in a neutral arena. And the one thing Boston College does well is they defend the three fairly well, just 30% defense against the three this year. So that could give them a chance to keep it close. But otherwise, I think Auburn a much more talented team.
Steve Merrill, check out his picks, prosportsinfo.com. He's one of the covers experts over at covers.com as well. Always a pleasure, Steve. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with us. We'll be talking some bowls next time Steve joins us later in the week on Friday. The college bowl season begins on Saturday afternoon. Game Time Decisions continues. Going to talk some NBA basketball with Coach Nick next. Game Time Decisions continues on Fantasy Sports Network. I am Gabriel Morenci. The show replays on television at 5:30. It plays at 5 o'clock on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We encourage you to download the Fantasy Sports app. You can listen on your mobile device, whatever device you want, anywhere you go at any time to listen to any show or any programming that you missed on the Fantasy Sports Network. Download the app right now so you hear great guests like Coach Nick from bballbreakdown.com, who returns to the fold. First time joining us in this this young NBA season. Coach, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing really well, Gabe. Thanks for having me on today.
So, Coach, I know you were at the Lakers game last night, and, you know, they did the celebrity check late in the game, and they're like, oh, there's Dustin Hoffman. Dustin comes to a lot of games. LL Cool J was there. The usual suspects, but they hung you to dry, Nick. Like, you know, at least they could have showed you some love. And there's Coach Nick taking in the game.
The top half of my head got on the screen at one point. So if I can count that, then, you know, thank God it wasn't a kiss cam because I wasn't with anyone I was going
to
kiss.
All right. So let's talk. We'll get to the Lakers in a second. They're going on a back-to-back to play the Kings tonight in Sacktown. But I wanted to get your take on the Clippers hosting the Blazers tonight. Clippers started off the season, Coach, with that torrid start. And people started to buy in, as we always do, that the Clippers are for real. The Clippers are a legitimate threat to the Golden State Warriors. And then, you know, we saw them play the Golden State Warriors. And it's actually been a couple of weeks now that the Clippers have come back down to earth. And to me, in just typical fashion, you know, it wasn't so much that they lost to the Warriors. The fact that they basically quit against the Golden State Warriors. And then they turn around on Saturday, and Paul's got his 20-20 night and no turnovers, and everyone's dunking and the three balls falling. And to me, it's like deja vu all over again, Coach. Okay, good for you. You beat the crap out of bad teams by 30, and you guys wilt against good teams. You see this team up close. What's your take on this team moving forward? Because Paul and Griffin are free agents, Coach. So this is it for these guys right now.
Oh, absolutely. This is definitely it. And, you know, the other thing that we're not talking about as much is the complaining to the refs. And if you don't want to think that's an issue, it definitely is. It became a problem right away in that Warriors game. And by the way, after they got hammered early, they were kind of played to a standstill the rest of that game, but it never really got close. And then, you know, they're going to beat up on the Pelicans. It didn't have Anthony Davis or Jrue Holiday, and they didn't have Blake. So we'll have to find out what this team's about. But there's just something, they're kind of like the Peanuts character that has a cloud that follows them over there, wherever they go, and rains on them occasionally. So I don't know. It just doesn't feel like they are ready to compete for anything more than that, you know, third, fourth seed and, you know, a second round playoff appearance. And even though they've got a lot of really tantalizing parts, And the only question now is, can Felton come back in and do some stuff, and Spades continue to be fine off the bench? But, yeah, there's just something about it that seems like it's their swan song and seems like they might not make it as far as they'd want to. Although tonight shouldn't be much of a problem.
You know, and you're right. They hung around a bit, but that was always their bench. And it's weird. I don't mind the Clippers' bench, but I'm not sure about their fourth and fifth starters, and I'm not sure if their big three are good enough. I mean, you got a guy, the center can't hit a free throw. Blake Griffin repeatedly taking these long the two-point jumpers, Coach. Well, what's your take on that? Are you an anti-long-range jumper right now? Are you a new-school three or dunk type of guy?
You know, I don't even know if that's even that new school, because I remember when the three-point shot came in when I was in high school, we knew we shouldn't be shooting like a step inside. You should get behind there and shoot it. But I do think that the problem I have with Blake Griffin's shot is, because it's not terrible, and I think he's probably up there as far as, you know, long twos go across the league, but he hangs in the air and shoots almost on the way down. And it's just not a recipe for consistent shooting. So whether or not he's going to nail them in the first or second quarters, what I'd be worried about with that kind of form is when the pressure is on in the fourth quarter and you need a bucket and he gets that shot, those are the shots that don't really fall when you're not mechanically sound. And that's the real concern here. He hasn't looked as great physically to me either, and he's been struggling a little bit with some injuries. So that's another concern, because this goes back to last year with the quad, and if it's related and he still hasn't, you know, been able to get healed fully, then that's a problem going into the playoffs eventually.
All right, let's talk about a basketball team that everything is going right for. They're dominating the NBA, with the exception, I think they're now 16-3 against everybody else besides Golden State and Cleveland. They've lost to Cleveland three times, and I'm talking about the Toronto Raptors, in which DeMar DeRozan's not taking long-range twos, but mid-range jumpers, but he has it down to an art form, and that's acceptable, isn't it, Coach? When a guy's nailing a shot like that, and it's a mid-range shot, you know, as a coach, you can live with that, can't? Because I've heard Casey say, I'm not a huge fan of that shot, but I don't mind when he takes it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when I did a breakdown of him after this huge start he had at the beginning of the year, you know, these are very tough shots that he's taking. But what I had said then, and it kind of has been playing out, is that if you're going to take a really contested shot off of a multi-dribble move, at least be 15, 17 feet from the basket. Those are the shots you can kind of make. Once you get to like 20, 21, those are the really tough ones and the bad shots you want to avoid. So I think we can kind of get away from this notion of, you know, long twos are bad, at least for him. And by the way, again, he's not taking the long twos. He's getting into about 17, 18 feet. And those are definitely sustainable shots for him. And the only question now is can the rest of the team, you know, get enough touches and enough rhythm to help him out?
Lowry just killing it from behind the arc right now. 56.7% of his threes over the last five games. From a coaching and a fundamental standpoint, what's your view on the Raptors? They just seem, they work so hard. They play hard every night. They're all where they're supposed to be. They seem to have an accountability factor for each other. You know, and if, you know, there might be little momentary lapses of the intensity not being where it has to be. And Casey shakes it up. He gets everybody involved. It's really a thing of beauty. I almost look at him like a mini Spurs operation coach.
You know, I'm not sure I'd go that far because of the ISO nature of some of their stuff as far as the aesthetics. But, you know, they're good and they do play very hard. But, like, when they have to play a team that's better than them, they have a harder time playing up. They have to play as hard as they can just to kind of stay even. And that's a team like with the Cavaliers play them. You know, they hang around, but then they ultimately, you know, they just turn it on in that third quarter run and it's over. And it's got to be really – it's. I know the Raptors fans hate me when I talk about it because I'm kind of matter of fact. They're just simply – they can't beat them in a playoff series. They don't have enough talent. And, you know, there's something to be said about playing hard, playing like a team like they do, especially on the defensive end and how Casey's got them. But they're missing that one last little bit of talent deficit that they have, and it's going to hold them back. But it's a terrific team. They're going to win a lot of games over a whole bunch of years. And, you know, when you look back on it, there's a lot to be proud of in the Raptors community.
Couldn't you say pretty much that about everybody in the NBA right now, though, that if there's Golden State and Cleveland, San Antonio, Toronto, and then a drop, there's the drop-off, and then the drop, right? There's the penthouse. All right, San Antonio and the Raptors are on the 18th floor and everyone else is on the 13th floor type of deal. You know what I mean? Like, does anyone really have a shot besides Golden State and Cleveland right now?
You know, I think barring injury, no. Although, remember, having the same teams play each other in the finals this many times, three times in a row is, like, I don't know if it's ever happened or it's really, really rare. So just simply history is against it happening. But if you have to look at it the way it's shaping up now, none of the other teams have seemed to be able to move into position at all, especially in the Eastern Conference without question.
All right, so before we get you out of here, Coach, you saw the Lakers up close last night. They're in Sacramento. Tonight, man, it's like as certain as Jimmy Stewart and A Wonderful Life is going to be on television, the Buffalo Bills will be eliminated by the playoffs before Christmas, and the Sacramento Kings are going to have a losing record. Like, my God, man, like if I'm DeMarcus Cousins, I got to get out of there, Coach. Like, I can't stay there if I'm him.
He's saying all the right things in the media, at least. But, I'd be surprised if he's going to make it through this year because, again, how many more years do they want to try and build something that they can't. They don't seem to have the wherewithal or the ability and the way to figure out a deal. They're usually behind the eight ball and getting fleeced on these deals. So I don't know. If they were able to package it together, I think he'd be gone. But he's certainly going to fill up those stat charts against anybody he plays, certainly the Lakers. I'm not sure Mozgov's going to be able to do much against him. And then after that, forget about it. And the Lakers are still not quite healthy. And when they don't have everybody completely healthy and get that really great bench unit intact and playing their regular minutes, then, you know, they are going to have a hard time competing against anybody.
The one thing about the Lakers, they are an entertaining team, but it's almost like I'm seeing, you're right, I don't want to judge the last couple of weeks. So Young and Russell are back, limited minutes last night. We'll see what happens tonight in the back-to-back. But it's almost like last year a little bit, Coach, right? It's just, it's a track meet, you know, the barn door's wide open. Lou Williams is bombing threes. There's not a lot of defense being played at either end. Like, there are a lot of bad habits that are popping up again.
Well, yeah, but it certainly is much different than last year because you don't have the Kobe farewell tour. You don't have Byron Scott raining on everyone's parade. Luke Walton's done a terrific job with what he has. And again, a very young roster. But they are fun. It's fun to watch. It is up and down. They make plays on the defensive end, you know, but they also have the boneheaded stuff where they lose concentration as well just due to age and inexperience. But they have a nice thing going there. Good coaching staff, and Lou has been really fun to watch. I tell you, I went on Friday's game too, and he went off on the whoever they played on Friday. I went to a bunch of games this past week, and he went off, and it was great to watch that. So, no, the Lakers are on their way up. They're going to be competitive, and if they can get healthy and get a nice long stretch here, I think that they can compete for the A spot.
Well, you know what, Coach? I'm actually, as a betting man, I'm actually taking the Lakers plus the 8.5 tonight. I just don't trust Sacramento to beat anybody by 9 points. So
you know, that's not a bad bet. The problem you got is, you know, Nick Young and Russell are still on their minutes restriction, and that's going to cause havoc, and who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, it's always a pleasure, man. I always love talking basketball with you. Keep up the great work. Thanks for taking the time to be with us, man.
You got it. Thanks, Gabe.
There's Coach Nick, B-ball breakdown with us, one of the best in the business. All right, Tony Cincotta is going to join us next. We're going to talk some fantasy football, baby. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. And just to prove to you that we're live, Jeff Fisher has just been relieved of his duties. Just in time to screw over my Who Ruined Your Sunday video segment. Like, we're going to, maybe, hey, Drew, yeah, we'll have to put some more disclaimer. Jeff Fisher fired. Jeff Fisher fired. Because I did say Snoop Dogg would do a better job coaching that team than Jeff Fisher would have. So what are you guys just getting the 2-year extension for? So you just pay him more money now? So he gets more money? Man, the NFL, like the only people stupider than NFL offensive coordinators are NFL owners. But let's bring in Tony Cincotta, sharp as they come. Coach Cincotta steps up, and it looks like Tony's going for a job interview. He wants to be the new coach in L.A.
Well, you'll tell you what, did Lane Kiffin take that job too easily? He has a track record in the Los Angeles area. Not a great
I'll tell
track.
You what. I'm with you, man. Seriously, Florida Atlantic Lane? That's like going to the bar, man, and like, you know, the first girl that hits on you. Yeah, okay, let's go, baby. You know what I mean? Like come on, Lane. I think you could have done a little better.
That is the craziest thing ever. Like, that tells you he was a guy at 35 years of age and already coached the Oakland Raiders, right? He'd already been there at USC, and at 41, his career's down the tubes.
Yeah, he's like me. He keeps going down. It's like you said, though. It's true. It's like that Brad Pitt movie, the Benjamin Button. He starts in the NFL. Lane Kiffin's getting up as a high school coach.
Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, now he's coaching like Don Bosco Prep. Boy, they're a power, though. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you right now, this is an amazing thing with Jeff Fisher in L.A. I watched the game, right, and I'm saying if people are leaving the game in the second quarter, the owner has to notice this. Like, eventually, he's noticed nothing else. He has to notice people walking out of the stadium in the second quarter. Do you know how long it takes to get anywhere in L.A.? Those people drove 2.5 hours, 3 hours to go down the street to get to that game, and they left in 22 minutes.
You know, that's a good point, Tony. And, you know, there's a dirty secret. The most NFL owners can give two craps whether their team wins, right? They're making so much money owning a team in the NFL. It's all just sort of lip service. There's a few guys like Kraft cares, Jones cares. There's a few guys that legitimately care. But you're right. So, like, you know, they shrug their shoulders. They make money either way, whether the team loses or not. But you're right when it's to the point when fans are leaving and they're not even making money off the concessions anymore, Tony. You know what I mean? Like, suddenly everything is down. Like, the entire take is down. Like, when you're that damn bad and people can't handle watching the entire game, you got a freaking problem, man. So, you know, fantasy football playoffs have arrived right now, Tony.
Yes.
I warn people, December, strange things happen. You get division games. Secondly, these games really matter, man. So they're going to focus in on superstars. They're going to make somebody else beat them. Weather comes into play. And let's look at this. Derek Carr, 4 fantasy points on Thursday. Eli Manning won last night, but he sucked, man. 7 fantasy points. Marcus Mariota in a win, 6 fantasy points. Philip Rivers was actually minus 5 fantasy points at one point in time on NFL.com, Tony. I think he ended up with like 11 when it was all said and done. Jameis Winston, who I liked yesterday, 8 fantasy points, Tony.
It was hard not to like him. It was hard not to like him. It was crazy. Yesterday, I won a lot of money. And here's what I did. Trevor Siemian and Blake Bortles. I just took the 2 cheapest quarterbacks and loaded up my roster. And I thought with all the injuries to Miami yesterday that David Johnson was the number one player. I paired him with Le'Veon Bell. I thought there was enough cheap wide receivers out there where I went Taylor Gabriel, thank God for one play, Dontrell Inman, and then Emmanuel Sanders. And that was enough for me to win across the board with, and we say it all the time, you don't have to go quarterback heavy. You don't have to pay money for quarterbacks. I took 2 crappy quarterbacks. They didn't even play good. They didn't even put up big numbers. But they were so cheap, I got to put in other players there, and we saw all these guys fail.
Yeah, with the exception of Aaron Rodgers, what quarterback put up big numbers this week?
Aaron Rodgers is the most valuable player in the National Football League. And people don't even look at that because people look back to like week 3 and week 4. They're all scrambling. If you look at that team, they have no defensive backfield. They have no running game. And he's going to run the table.
You know what? I was in a playoff matchup yesterday and won due in part to Jordy Nelson's 2 touchdowns. That's the one thing. Because it looks like, look at the Raiders right now. You know, these teams are in desperation mode to win. And the car's not throwing 4 touchdowns anymore every week and stuff. No. Those numbers are over. You're right. It's an equalizer, Tony, because I just went through all these big star quarterbacks. Dak Prescott last night, what did he put up? Right? Absolutely nothing. And, yeah, Siemian wasn't bad. Bortles wasn't too bad. How about Le'Veon Bell yesterday, though? 54 points. And I did pretty well, too, on DK. I had Le'Veon Bell. I had Carlos Hyde as my flex, which people laughed at, Tony. 30 freaking points, buddy.
Yeah, Carlos Hyde. I'll tell you the truth. Le'Veon Bell, 54 points. He's on a 2-game monster roll. They decided, like, you look at Ben Roethlisberger. He's an interesting transition in the NFL and fantasy football. Every single year, he has 4 games where he has 0 points, like less than 5. And that kills you because at the end of the year, you look at the numbers and he comes the 7th best quarterback. Well, the bottom line is, though, you got 4 games where you lost because you had Ben Roethlisberger. He contributes more to losing fantasy teams than any other quarterback in the National Football League. Then you look at Le'Veon Bell and you say, man, 2 games in a row, they've just pounded the rock. They're getting back to old school football. It's taken away from Antonio Brown in the winter weather. I love it. I think it continues with him and Le'Veon Bell. And then Carlos Hyde, they run so many plays. They spread out that offense that I don't know if Carlos Hyde's a great football player, and it doesn't matter. The bottom line is in that offense, he's going to have opportunities, and that's what we want. If they put Sean Drawn in there, I see him put up big plays as well. So that's why I'm not saying that Carlos Hyde's a great, great opportunity for people.
Yeah, and he was $5,000, and he gave us six times the point value in return. All right, we've only got about 3-4 minutes left. So before we get to tonight's game and a contest, quick take on Prescott. Would you go to Tony Romo if Dak struggles again on Sunday against the Bucs?
No. We're talking about a 36-year-old quarterback with back, knee, shoulder injuries. Forget about it. Throwing it back out there in that season, you're asking for trouble. Because once you do that, you can't go back the other way. Once you do that, you've committed to staying with Tony Romo. I don't think you can do that. He's got you this far. You have to live and die with it.
All right, so let's talk about tonight's matchup. Baltimore's played New England tough over the years, especially in the playoffs. But specifically, Brady's numbers are down. He doesn't put up the same gaudy numbers against his Baltimore defense over the years as he has. I think he's got like 10 touchdowns and 10 picks, actually. Flacco's played a little bit better. What kind of game are you expecting tonight?
I can't stand Coach Harbaugh. He's the little whiny kid you want to kick in the face when you're on the playground. He was the one complaining about Belichick and when they would have the linemen report as running backs and such.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. I bitch about the Spygate. I'll admit, I've cried about some things, but it's like the liberal media now with Trump. You got to pick your spots. You can't cry every day about everything. Like, and that's the thing with Harbaugh. Oh, they didn't report. It's like, You're competing against each other here, Coach. He thought of it first before you.
And then you go and pull this holding penalty thing that wasn't a penalty. It was a great move, right? And you don't want anyone to bitch about it. But he's a great coach. And he always, always has that team ready for New England. The one thing with this defense is one of the best in the NFL, like it always is. but they've let up big play touchdowns. They've let up some long touchdown passes. This sets up as a game for Malcolm Mitchell in this one. I think if anyone in New England gets off, it's going to be Malcolm Mitchell. You get Julian Edelman, every time Rob Gronkowski's not in the lineup, he's going to put up 18 points in a PPR league. You can lock that down. But Malcolm Mitchell's the difference maker. He's a guy that can get you 12 fantasy points tonight, but if everything goes well, he gets 20.
And you know what? The ownage is probably going to be pretty low. We mentioned Brady's numbers. Last six regular season games versus Baltimore, his QB rating is 86.3, which is clearly lower than it usually is. He's only thrown last six games, six touchdown passes, three interceptions against them. Flacco plays well against the Patriots for some reason. 16 touchdown passes, eight interceptions, quarterback rating of 91.3 when playing head-to-head against Tom Brady.
I think both Steve Smith and Mike Wallace in play tonight. 12 to 14 fantasy points for those guys. I think Breshad Perryman's the wild card. Like Malcolm Mitchum, this guy's an incredible gift of the athlete. He's the fastest player in the NFL, and he could get deep on this Patriots secondary, which I've been so suspect against all year long. I don't think they're that good. I think you got Malcolm Butler and then a whole bunch of other guys just hanging out there and then covering up the weaknesses. If you want to take a shot tonight on a cheap player, I would go Breshad Perryman.
Tony Sincotta, the Tony Sincotta with us. Tony, we got to get out of here. It's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for the breakdown.
Hey, Jeff Fisher, Merry Christmas.
I have a more Merry Christmas to you, even though he's fired, but he still has more money than you and I do, Tony.
Right, plenty of time to go online shopping.
And we've got jobs, he's got money. Tony Sincotta. Always a pleasure, Tony.
Take care.
There's Tony Sincotta. We'll just come back with our plays of the day and try to make you some money. All right, it's time for our plays of the day, except I can't lie to you guys, man. This NFL thing, I'm a little bit weary, man. My confidence is lower than a naked Rob Kardashian at the gym, all right? But everyone's like, oh, Baltimore played them tough. You got to take Baltimore. So I'm going with the opposite, all right? Normally, I don't like laying 6 points with any team, let alone with the New England Patriots, who I'm not really a huge fan of to begin with. but I think they're going to win by like 7 points this evening. And we'll tease this game to the over. It'll creep over. It can get to 38. It should be able to get to 38. A long field goal, over under 45.5. Weather's not going to be a factor this evening. I don't have any other props for you because I don't want to lose money for you, all right? Told you, my confidence is shot on the grid tonight, man. Stocks of basketball, though. Raptors, lay the 8.5. Raptors are a covering machine. Raptors cover, and it goes over every day. So we should get the split minimum here. Lakers played last night. But they're playing against the Sacramento Kings tonight, man. The Kings shouldn't be favored by 9 points against a high school team. They should be favored against like a bunch of white guys at the Y, let alone an NBA team. So give me the Lakers plus the points. Give me the over. This one, kind of roll the dice with, but I don't trust the Clippers to lay 9.5 here. College basketball, Thornwell is out for South Carolina. He's their best player. Seton Hall beats them tonight. And I hope the Montreal Canadiens didn't score all their goals because they need something tonight to beat Boston for the third time this year, and they will. Other night, you're on your own, and the winners be yours.